blessed to hear that kind of singing. Blessed to be able to be here. We could just go on our morning and tell him and ourselves how blessed we are because of him. We're honored today to have Dr. Mac Bagwell with us from Tunnel Hill, Georgia, and his lovely wife, Debbie. They've been coming here a long, long time, and we're so thankful we're in their schedule. Full-time evangelist, I'm talking about full-time every day, and he's traveled around the country, and we will be blessed this week by the Lord as he expounds to us the Word of God. Dr. Bagwell, will you please come? And we're honored to have you again with us.
Thank you, preacher. And it is an honor to be here again this year. I speak for Debbie and myself. Thank God for the Word. I've said this often. The young man with whom we were in revival last week, repeated it. He quoted it to his congregation. And I really feel this way. Potentially, the most exciting part of a service, I think, is when that man of God steps to the pulpit, whoever he may be, if he's a Bible preacher. Whenever he steps to the pulpit, three words, and announces the text. I'm hungry to know where we'll be feeding when somebody steps to the sacred desk, they used to call it. And I'll tell you this much already, it will be in the Old Testament. Last year we were in the New Testament, Hebrews 12, just a little sliver of Hebrews 12, where we learned about God's disciplining, chastening, training His children. Aren't you glad you're in His family? I'm glad He does train us. And the year before that, I believe we were in the book of Lamentations. Somebody says, Book of Lamentations, only five chapters. Tough, tough portion of Scripture. But it is the Word of God. And the time prior to that, if I'm not mistaken, was the book of Jeremiah. So I'm just thinking in my mind, I might be a little too Old Testament heavy here. We might need some more New Testament. But it's Psalms, the book of Psalms. And, boy, isn't that a wide open field, the book of Psalms. 150 chapters. Well, I guess you can say chapters. 150 songs. For it is the hymn book of Israel. I guess it could be the hymn book of the church. The song of the redeemed. I hope you'll let me categorize the book of Psalms this way. 150 poems. That's with a capital P, as far as I'm concerned, because it's inspired. But they are indeed poems. A Hebrew poem doesn't always rhyme, as ours often do. But the meter, the rhythm, the pattern is clearly has a rhythm to it. The book of Psalms. I was studying yesterday. I was driving, so I couldn't read. I was listening on my iPad. And the young man, and he's written prolifically about the Old Testament, he said that the book of Psalms didn't catch on in his life real quickly. He had trouble digesting it. And I'm telling you, there is no portion of Scripture as broad, as vast, as the book of Psalms. My. Psalm 1, it's the opening, it's the vestibule of the book. And here's how it starts. Y'all been singing about it. Beautiful song. Here's how it starts. I'll take an amen. Blessed is the man. Boy, if you know God today, you're blessed. Blessed is the man. And Psalm 1, right off the bat, contrasts two kinds of men. The godly man and the wicked man. I know where I want to be in that equation. And it's strange, the book of Psalms starts out negatively. Blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, sitteth not in wicked places. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in God's law he meditates day and night. You can't draw a more stark difference between two individuals. Psalm 1. You know how it ends, Psalm 150? I can put it in four words if you'll smile at me. Praise ye the Lord. Starts out, blessed is the man, and it ends up, praise ye the Lord. Almost comes full circle. You know why we are blessed? Because we've learned to praise the Lord for all of His goodness. Psalm 2 is called a messianic psalm. It describes Jesus 1,000 years before He's born. Listen to God the Father talk about His Son Jesus in Psalm 2. Some of you will agree. He said, I have set my King on the holy hill of Zion. Hey, I've already learned Jesus is not only the Son of God, He's a King of some sort. In Psalm 2, mankind is raging in rebellion against the Almighty. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They say of God, we don't like the rules He's put on us. Let us cast His cords asunder. We'll not live by His domain. Does that scare God? Is God worried? Listen, Psalm 2, He that sitteth in the heavens, you're not going to believe this, shall laugh. He laughs at man's measly attempt at rebellion. I don't want to be part of that rebellious crowd. I want to submit to Him. Here's the advice. Kiss the Son. That's K-I-S-S. Kiss the Son, lest ye be angry and perish in the way. Well, I'm glad one day, I'll put it this way first. I'm glad one day I got saved. Anybody here been saved by the grace of God? And the day you got saved, Old Testament parlance, you kissed, you loved, you invited the darling Son of God into your life. That's just Psalm 2, folks. Psalm 15, it gives a list of things that if I will do those things, I will never be moved. I will never stumble. I won't even totter like I'm going to fall. Psalm 15. Wow. Coming over here thinking and pondering, I thought about Psalm 23, which may be one. Well, it is one, and it may be my favorite. See if anybody will help me a little bit here. The Lord is my shepherd. You sang about all our needs being met. I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside. Surely I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It ends. And that's where we are, at least symbolically today. 23. That's Psalm 23. But you know it follows Psalm 22. I can't take much time. I'll tell you about Psalm 22. It is a psalm of sorrow. It is a psalm of tragedy. It begins like this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus put those words into his own lips as he died on the old rugged cross. Indeed, forsaken of God. It talks about a man who has been pierced, about a man who is bleeding, a man who is in agony, a man who has enemies. Bulls of Bashan, wild dogs are nipping. And oh, how he is, seems like despised of God. You mean Psalm 22 with its sorrow, but Psalm 23 with its victory and its glory and its provision? That's the nature of the Psalms, ladies and gentlemen. You start reading a new Psalm, you can't tell where that thing's going to lead you. I love the Psalms. Somebody said, and I probably quoted it here, you may have it written down in your notebook, for every sigh, there is a psalm. I want to say that again. And I want to spell sigh. S-I-G-H. For every sigh, there is a psalm. Paraphrase. For every heartache, there is a psalm. There's psalms written when people were sad. There's psalms written when people had been betrayed. There's psalms written when people were on top of the world praising God. There's psalms written when people were sick. There's psalms written when people are going through the valley of the shadow of death. For every sigh, there is a psalm. Oh, I'm glad God wrote it that way. Psalm 51, can you imagine? A man has sinned, and I mean he committed a doozy. Adultery and lying and murder on top of that. But one day, y'all need an amen, he got right with God. Yeah, his name is David. And he begins to ask God to forgive him of his sin and his transgression and his wrong. Oh boy, have I got some good. It's called a psalm of repentance, a penitent psalm. And he asked, get ready, and God forgave. Hallelujah. But then there's some psalms that are really riddles. Psalm 58. I didn't know I was going to do all this, but I'm getting ready to announce my text. Psalm 58. I'm showing you the breadth. We're trying to in the book of Psalms. Psalm 58 is called a psalm of imprecation. An imprecatory psalm. What in the world does that mean? Imprecate essentially means you're putting a, Sunday morning, I gotta be careful. You're putting a curse on somebody. That's what an imprecation is. In Psalm 58, there is a prayer recorded against the wicked, ungodly, reprobate world in which we live, a world that hates our Father in heaven, despises Almighty God, a world that cannot stand the Savior that you hold dear to your heart. And all Psalm 58 is doing is claiming what God. Anybody believe God's going to judge the wicked someday? I mean, you read it in the King James, and that's the one I'm reading in. Says, God, break their teeth out, would you please? Whew. That's pretty rough. God, would you, and on with imprecation. I'm just going to leave 58 there. I can't preach out of this to say this. We are in a war today, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a battle against sin. And in Psalm 58, you say, boy, I got to go read that. If you go home and read it, read 83. It's a parallel psalm, just worse in its imprecations. And it's in my Bible, I'm telling you. And then there's sweet little Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Isn't that what we're doing today? Come into His presence with singing. The Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Will I get any help here? I believe the book of Psalms is a worship manual. Indeed. Psalm 101, as badly as David sinned, as far from God as he drifted, and yet he made it right and God forgave him. God later says, David's a man after my own heart. He's later called the sweet psalmist of Israel. In Psalm 101, after David gets right, he gives you the things I will not do list. Man. I'm going to preach that, God willing, one week. I've already got my booklets printed. I'm just waiting for a green light unto the Lord. Things David will not. He said, I will not set any wicked thing in front of my eyes. Whoa. Preach that long, you'd have to give an invitation, wouldn't you? And the Psalms continue to... Let me put another prayer of Psalms. Psalm 63 is called the morning prayer. Psalm 141 is called the evening prayer. And every fervent Jew would quote it, would pray it when he got up to, oh God, thou art, help me with an amen. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. It's a morning prayer, and they did that. And then Psalm 141, I will lift up my hands as the evening sacrifice. I'll go to bed worshiping an almighty God in heaven. I'll adore Him all night long. Wow. The book of Psalms. Having said all that and probably taking too long to do it, you say, preacher, what are you up to? I hope I interest somebody in the Psalms. I hope I've said enough that the next time you're going through a valley, you'll find a psalmist going through the valley. And you'll filter your thoughts and your burdens and your concerns through the Word of God. And you'll find out He's not only God on the mountain, He's God in the valley. Hallelujah. But the psalm for this week, God willing, is Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And I already gave it away, didn't I? The psalm for this week. Because God willing, I'll say some things about Psalm 104 this morning. Preacher, hear those pages turning. I love it. A lot of places anymore, you announce your text, you don't hear much. Says to me, First Baptist Church, Fletcher is a, y'all can amen, you're bragging on yourselves, but it won't, sounds to me like you're a Bible-bringing church. And that means you got a Bible-preaching pastor. And you do. Oh, God, give us a hunger for your word. Psalm 104. I want to preach it all week long if God continues to direct this way. Scott, you might want to check me and see, 35 verses, if memory serves correctly. I tried to do the math and divide 5 services into 35 total verses in the psalm, and you get 7. And I hate to tell you, we won't get 7 in this morning. I've taken too long to enter. We're going to talk our way, study our way, preach our way through Psalm 104. It is divinely inspired of the Holy Ghost, Psalm 104. It's one of the Bible's 1,189 chapters, one. It is inerrant. It has no mistakes. Oh boy, we got a problem. You let the average biology professor at any state university read the psalm. To him, it is merely a joke. Impossible. There is no divine being that could have done all these things. I want to make an announcement. Mr. PhD, in this case, he's wrong. There is a God in heaven who created everything we see and things we don't see today. This is the, Brother Gary, probably a lot better way to term it, this is the creation psalm. The creation psalm. Oh, brother. He's going to preach all week on creation. Listen to me now. And it doesn't have to be loud, but I'd appreciate an amen. Even if it's faint, I'll pick up on it. Somebody needs to talk about creation again. We've just about let the devil's crowd steal from us the doctrine of direct, miraculous, divine creation by an almighty God. Charles Yarwood may have been a brilliant man. I can't deal with that issue. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I'm going to tell you what. When Charles Darwin devised a theory that leaves God totally out of the origin of the species, Mr. Charles Darwin made a mistake. I'm getting some intent looks. Maybe that's good. Hey, Romans chapter 3, verse 4, when it comes to the creation evolution debate, see if I get any help. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let's just go with God's account. Psalm 104 is the creation psalm. Oh, let me say this. And I heard, and the man's he's a pastor, and I'm not in the business of criticizing pastors, and I'm not going to start today. But he said this. He said, what's the big deal over creation? He said, I don't see it's that important. We're alienating educated people. Oh, let me do two or three times. There are a whole lot of educated people still believe in the beginning God created heaven and earth, folks. What's the big deal? Well, I'll tell you the big deal. If Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, first three chapters, if it's a lie, if it's mistake-ridden, if it's inaccurate, who's to say my Bible's not off in another place? I heard a good strong amen right back there. I mean, if the creation is wrong, maybe the Calvary account is wrong. If you let anybody, and I'm thinking of a young man right now who is a rank liberal today. He started out in a fundamental Bible-believing church. And here's where he slipped up. He let somebody suggest to him their mistakes in your Bible. Their mistakes in your Bible. I just want to announce it. I'm not even going to ask for amens. This will be a case of you can't help it. There are no mistakes in your Bible. No mistakes. God wrote it. God knows everything. God makes no mistakes. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And He was at creation. He was here when it happened. He is the Creator. David's heard me say this a dozen times. What's the big deal? The inerrancy of Scripture is the big deal. But now, I want to say this. Still talking about the principle, the truth of Psalm 104. I want you to hear me. If you don't have a Creator, you don't need a Redeemer. I'm going to say it again. If you don't have a Creator, you don't need a Savior, a Redeemer. Brother Bagwell, I'll debate that. What in the world do you mean? If you don't have a Creator, here's how God says it went. He created Adam and Eve, put them in a perfect garden where they were sinless. All right, I'm going to say that again. And we'll do like that again. And I'm not getting on to anybody. Just give me some amens. This is fundamental. He created Adam and Eve, put them in a garden, and they were sinless. We believe in the creation of man by the direct act of God. But they didn't stay sinless. There was a tempter, Satan, Lucifer. He tempted Eve. She sinned. Adam sinned in tandem with her. And all of us, we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. We plunged into an abyss, into a cesspool of iniquity. God said we started perfect and we sinned, and the trajectory of mankind is down, down, down. Are you all following what I'm saying? God said, we started up there and we are there. And could I say this? As far as sin today, Paul wrote it, evil men and seducers shall wax, shall become worse and worse and worse. We're still on that downhill slide. And that's why I need somebody to pick me up out of the mess. Pick me up out of sin. That's why I need somebody to wash away my iniquity. That's why I need somebody to set me in heavenly places. Help me. That's why I need to be saved by the grace. Downhill. Here's evolution. We all started in some primordial swamp somewhere. One-celled amoeba. Protozoan. Don't ask me how, because it takes billions and billions of years and nobody was here to observe it. But somehow, that little one-cell animal ultimately, and I oversimplify, became a tadpole, and a tadpole a frog, and the frog somehow jumped out and began walking around. Before you know it, he's walking on 2 feet. And I once was a monkey hanging in a tree. Now I'm a university professor with a PhD. That's sort of the way it goes. They say we're improving. We started low and we're getting better and better. And ladies and gentlemen, if we started low and getting better and better, we'd never sin. We'd never violated any ethic of an almighty God. We don't need a Savior. We're improving ourselves. We are our own Savior. We are our own deliverer. It looks to me like those two thoughts are diametrically opposed. I'm going with God's account. So, creation is vitally important. Because I just don't care what you say, I don't believe in creation. If you don't believe in the first creation, I doubt you believe in the second, in the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Psalm 104. I'm going to do something that, and it might be ill-advised, but I strongly feel the good idea. I'm going to read the psalm. If I can keep my mouth shut and just read the text, it'll take 4 minutes. That's a very unlikely event. I'm doing it for 2 reasons. One being, just logistically, it means everybody in the building on Sunday morning will have heard the text for the week. You'll get the gist of this beautiful poem. One great writer of the past, been dead 150, 200 years, he said it is the greatest ode, O-D-E, poetic language, the greatest ode to creation ever written. Well, that's tall cotton right there. That is quite lofty. Greatest ode, poem, to creation ever written. Who was it, honey, that wrote Ode to a Grecian Urn? I mean, it's a poem of antiquity, and it's gone down in history. I sure think I'd rather praise creation than some Greek urn somewhere. An ode to creation. Psalm 104. Oh, there's a second. I'm up to something here. I'm reading it to you so that everybody in this building can at least count one of how many times you've read or heard our text tonight. Count tonight. And it's not new to you, just like we did with Hebrews 12, just like we did with the chapters of Lamentation. I want us to read this psalm, as many as will. It's not a requirement for attendance. As many as will. I want you to read it on some watches, over and over and over again this week. Why? Oh man, about six reasons flash up. I don't know of anything better you can do with your time this week than reading God's Word. Here's the second reason. You'll get more out of it the fourth time through than you will the first time through. That's a given. And the more you read it, you will begin to pick up the rhythm, the flow of what the Holy Ghost, and He is the author, is saying in Psalm 104. Could I make an announcement? We got a great big God today. It is called, get this word, deism. What? Deism. That's the word for God. Deus. Latin. Deus. Deism. What does it mean? It simply means one who believes in God. You could even say one who believes in a God. We don't believe as Christians in a God. We believe in the God, for there is only one God who has a Son and His Spirit. He's a triune God. Deism. But Benjamin Franklin, at least at times in his career, was a deist. What does that mean? He believes there's a God, and he would have even gone so far as to say, I believe that God is creator. He would have admitted it. He's a deist. But then, this is what a deist believes. God created it, set it down, stepped back from it, and has refused to touch it since the moment He made it. A deist believes in a hands-off God. Are y'all following me? Preacher, they used to call it, and sometimes it's still the watchmaker God. He created it, and oh, the universe is a whole lot more complex than a watch, but He made the watch. He winds it up. He steps back, and the watch is winding down. That's the deist view of creation. God did it. God's had nothing to do with it since. One of these days, entropy, one of these days, it'll all fizzle away and be over. Deism. I just want to make an announcement. I am not a deist. I believe in that God. I agree He created the heaven and earth. Hope I get some amen. I do not agree that He took His hands off. I believe He's still in control of events on this earth to this very day. I'll just use Solomon's line. I believe the eyes of the Lord, right now, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And as I read the 104th Psalm, I hope in the back of your mind you say, there He is again. His hands are not off this thing. He's controlling it. He's fine-tuning it. By the way, if the sun came up this morning and it did, I know who was in charge. It's not merely some law of science. Where did I lay my Bible? Psalm 104. Now, after I've said all that, surely you won't read it and say, is that all there is? Read it and say, wow, look what it is. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord. Notice how it starts. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. I heard the amen. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. You know what? I love it when I read a text and just volunteer. I hear amen. It's like popcorn popping everywhere. It just comes out. You can't help it. God is the, verse 2, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot and walketh upon the wings of the wind. Isn't that beautiful? Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire. Watch. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it, the earth, with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Alright, I gotta break in. The waters stood above the mountains. When did the waters ever stand above the mountains? See if I get a little nod here. Try the day the flood came, if you will. See, they deny a flood. They deny a worldwide flood. Verse 7, At thy rebuke, God, they fled at the voice of thy thunder. They hasted away. Thy thunder. This psalmist believes God owns the thunder. He then would believe God sends the lightning. Poetry? Yes, it is. But truth is behind the artistry. Verse 8. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys under the place which thou hast founded for them, the waters. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over. They turn not again to cover the earth. Anybody here believe God keeps the ocean in its place? God keeps the rivers flowing in its bed. What he says. Verse 10, he sends the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, and the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. Let me just say this. Now, we got God in control of the animal world, of animal creation. And some atheists might not know it, but the little birds and the beasts of the field, they know their Creator. Isaiah says when Jesus comes back, the lion's going to lie down with the lamb. The trees are going to clap their hands, their limbs, I suppose, in honor and glory of the returning King. Well, verse number 13, he watereth the hills from his chambers, God. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Is anybody, I need an amen. Anybody here like biscuits? If you like biscuits, they're the result of God causing food to grow out of the earth, the wheat from which they our meal. Verse 15, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's hearts. Verse 16, an ode to creation. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. And as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the cronies. We'll talk about that. He appointed the moon for seasons, and the sun knoweth his going down. Now, he's not only in charge of animal creation. He's God the astronomer. He's God the creator of all the stars and suns and moons of heavens, of the heavens. What a God. What a God. Verse 20, thou makest darkness and its night, wherein all the beasts of the field do creep forth. They're nocturnal, some of them. And the young lions roar after their prey, and they seek their meat from God. And then the sun comes up. The sun arises. They gather themselves together. The animals had hunted all night, and they lay them down in their dens. And man goes forth to his work and to his labor under the evening. There we are going to work. O Lord, how manifest are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. I'm going to get that last line again. The earth is full of thy riches. Have y'all heard? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Verse 25, so is this great and wide, look, sea, the ocean, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts, and there go the ships, and there is that Leviathan, we'll talk about him, he's a sea monster of some kind, whom thou hast made to play therein, these wait all upon thee. Brother Roy's got the whales and the porpoises waiting. Oh no, my, these all wait upon thee that thou mightest give them their meat, their food in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand and they are filled with good. I love this. God, thou openest thy hand and they are filled with good. I love birds. I like to feed the birds. I like to watch the color of the birds and study a little bit sometimes about the habits of the birds. And I got this big feeder and it's loaded with bird seed. And oh, preacher, you'll see the cardinals when they come, and they love sunflower seed. That's their specialty. And you'll see the little finches, and they love that little black seed, thistle. I love thistle seed. And it's an amazing thing. And you say, Preacher Bagel, don't be stupid. You're the one that bought that bird seed, Walmart. You're the one that put it in that bird seed. Hey, my Bible says God opened his hand. I did buy the seed, but God opened his hand, gave me the money to buy the seed. Hallelujah. God's running this universe, folks. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Verse number, I think it's 29. Am I correct? 29. Thou hidest thy face, and they're troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and they return to their dust. Could I tell you when you're going to die? Only one amen. When God takes away your breath. When air is no longer, thou sendest forth thy spirit, and they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. Think of when autumn comes and then winter comes, but oh, here comes spring. Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. You say, preacher, I'm not getting excited about a bit of this. I didn't get excited about the sunrise. I didn't get excited about the bird chirping. The Lord, you might not be excited about it, but God is. The Lord rejoices in His works. Looks down and He takes great delight in it. And verse 32. He looketh on the earth, it trembles. He touches the hills, and they smoke. That doesn't sound like the God of deism. He didn't say, He's still touching, and things are still turning. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise unto my God while I have my being. I can hear it being asked. If I were sitting there, I'd be asking it myself. Is this going to be practical? We're going to spend a week talking about creation? Where's the revival theme in it? Soon as we've read it all, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praise to my God as long as I have. Boy, this thing ought to set us praising. It ought to set us worshiping. It ought to make us glorify the God who not only created all of the world, we say, but who saved us from the devil's hell and made us new creations. Amen. Verse 34, my meditation of Him. I guess it means we ought to meditate on Him. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord. O my soul, praise ye the Lord. Wow. Too much text to read on a Sunday morning? Don't know. But I'm feeling pretty good about it right now, if you don't know the truth. I know Him. I know that God. He's living in my heart today. If He can handle the sunrise and the full moon and the orbits of little Pluto way out, I reckon He can take care of my needs and yours. Oh my. You remember from other years I carry a timer with me. I have to. I lose track. I've been preaching 42 minutes, this says. And I really forgot to start it when I first came up here. So might be a little more than that. Oh, I got to tell you this. Reason to believe. I want you to go home, read this thing, and figure it out. Psalm 104 goes through the 6 days of creation pretty much in order. And comes out on the end on the Sabbath day, those last few verses, where we're supposed to worship an almighty God. If that's true, we've probably got a stick of dynamite in our hands this week. Going to get to watch and thrill and worship as God tells us the story of creation. Then this. I really had on my heart the first four verses. About all I'm going to get to do is read them now. Again. When I say days of creation, let there be light, and there was light, and the evening and the morning were the first day. When I say days of creation, I want to, so I see about everybody, I'm talking about 24-hour days of creation. And here comes the question, is it that important? You see, here is an easy out for us Bible believers. When it says day one and day two and day three, that doesn't really mean days. It means epochs of time. And God may have done all this, but it probably took Him 5 billion years to do it. Listen up. That's not what the Bible says. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and He rested. I'm going to preach it as 24-hour days. The Hebrew noun is yom, Y-O-M, and it means a day cycle, sun up. Just going to take it literally. A poem to creation. I end with these words. Psalm 104, 1 through 4. I wonder this, and when I say I end, I'm serious. Would you stand with me as I end the message this morning? Still with your Bibles handy, if possible. I want to read the four verses I didn't get to preach. I will tonight, God willing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Watch this. Who covers Thyself with light as with a garment. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Who layeth the beams of His chambers. That's where God lives. Who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters. That was giving me fits. I thought, God don't live in the waters. There are waters up there, folks. As well as waters down here. Truth be told, there may be more water up there than there is down here. God has built His chambers, who maketh the clouds His chariot, and walks on the wings of the wind. I love to think about that when I'm flying. He makes the clouds His chariots, and He walks, that jet stream out there 100 miles an hour plus, He walks on the wings of the wind. It is poetry, but it is powerful. Verse 4, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flaming fire. And all God's people said, and I hope all God's people say, can't wait till tonight or Monday. May we bow our heads, may we close our eyes, our musicians come, the song leader. And I ask if they would be so kind just to softly play at first what will be our invitation hymn. No one looking, no one staring. When they strike the first note, I wonder if somebody, in fact, you come right now, somebody might want to make their way to the altar and help me pray, Lord, speak to our hearts this week through Psalm 104. Lord, do something in my heart. Do something within my being to draw me closer unto Thee. I wonder if somebody would come and go ahead and ask God about that lost loved one you got. You're going to try to invite and bring. Wonder if somebody would come today and acknowledge that your God is very great. Thank Him for His power and His might. I read that verse out of the psalm, my meditation of Thee shall be sweet. Oh, somebody come and say, Lord, I want to think about You this week. I want to meditate on Your great creative ability. And I want it to be sweet. That might be revival unto itself. Somebody may have lost their joy, your song, I remind you what he said, the conclusion of these verses. I'll just start singing to the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praise while I have my being. Ask him to give you your joy back. David prayed it. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, O Lord. Father, we put it in thy hands. Do for us a mighty work of grace in these services. We'll sure thank you. Give us revival. Only you are able, only thou art able to do so. We ask it, we beg it, we plead it. Could be somebody here lost. You do not know Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to give you the opportunity, if the Spirit of God is speaking, to come and believe and trust. That's what the Bible said, believe the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. What's our number, brother? 326. Let's sing it together as an invitation hymn. You come yet, if God's speaking to your heart today. That's generally the way he speaks, isn't it? Softly, tenderly, calling us. Sing it now. I went to a little printer, Christian printer in our community. He fixed me up the 104th Psalm in a little handy format to go right in your pocket. Everybody hears, read it, or heard it once. That's one reason I wanted to do it. If you'll read it three more times this afternoon, you come in here tonight a total of four times through. Such a little bit of investment. I want to give you one of these tonight. Take it. You say, why? Well, I just feel like it'll make it easier to read the Psalm tomorrow if you choose to do so on Tuesday and Wednesday. And plus, I like the idea of printing and distributing Scripture anyhow. I think there's power in the Word of God. You help us with this. We'll count tonight, see how many chapters we've amassed. Probably be an encouraging number. And I want to thank you for the way you've listened. If anybody left while I was preaching, I didn't see it. Seemed like you were glued to the text I was trying to share. I like that. Hey, have y'all heard? We got a great God.
God for His Word, expounding the Word of God. Children need to hear this. A lot of older people need to hear this because there's been a lot of mixed up. Well, I love that 24-hour day. That's just what God said, believe it or not. And that's what He said. I'm going to rest on the Word. We're going to hear the truth tonight and the rest of the week about the creation. We need to hear it. We need to preach it. We need to tell it. And an old southern term that we grew up with, I'm just a fixin' to enjoy this week. Thank God for everyone. Brother Garrett, you'll come here and say the blessing upon the food. It's been prepared. And thank you so much for doing that for us for these 24 years. It's been an honor. Thank you for this particular day. Okay, as you leave this morning, you're going to pick up the financial report and pick that up, take it home, and then we'll have the review later on.
Father, we come to you with thanksgiving. Father, have we been fed from the Word of God this day, how our souls have been lifted by the singing, Father, and Lord, how we've been blessed. We could not thank you enough and praise you enough for this and for all these years, Father, you've allowed Brother Roy and Sister Sandra to be at this church, Lord, as he's pastored, Lord, from his heart, a true pastor. We thank you for that and for preaching the word just as the Bible teaches it with no alterations from it. Father, we thank you for that. We praise you. Father, we thank you for this food that we're about to receive that's been prepared. Father, we pray that you'd bless each one, Lord, that had a part in preparing that food. And we pray that you'd bless it, Father, to our bodies and our bodies, always to thy service. And we thank you and praise you for these things in Jesus' name.